Okay, good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right, we're gonna share some lines today during the sermon. And it's going to be a big part of what we're about today, what we're going to discuss as far as being members of a church, what that means. And so I'm looking forward to it. I hope that you guys are also. I was thinking about a title and something to preach about today, and obviously it's related to new members. Now, I looked at Corinthians, and I'll be honest with you, I'm number one, I'm not a preacher by whatever, I'm not a formal preacher, okay? But let's say 5 to 10 years ago, when I would read Corinthians and things that Paul wrote. I guess my heart has changed over the years, but it's kind of like a matter of fact. He has compassion. He's like, what kind of little church? You guys aren't doing this. You're like babies. You're acting like babies. You used to know what worship was about. And so, what do I do? The person that initially 5 to 10 years ago, I had a little problem with it because it just seemed kind of bossy. And I think like a lot of Christ lovers, disciples, followers, they did things in a little more gentle way. And I guess maybe that's just because of my nature. But I saw when I read 1 Corinthians, I felt, wow, okay, this fits right in like for what we're about today with the membership. So also with the things that I discussed today, I'm kind of tying to the new members. But, okay, as members that have been around here for quite a while, that's really what I'm speaking for myself also. I think sometimes we get complacent. Or it really needs to be a member that it's more than just coming to church on Sunday and thinking about it. But it's much deeper than that. And that's what I hope to convey today through reading 1 Corinthians, showing a video that I had new members watch, tying that all together on what it means to be a church member. So bear with me today, but before we get into this, as the Father, just thank you for this day. As I speak today, I pray that you make me conscious that when you're speaking to me, Lord, these may have been words that I researched, that I thought about. But Lord, I just pray that you are speaking to me today, giving a message to this church, giving a message to this congregation, giving a message to each person individually, that it sink in their heart, that it permeate their heart. Bless them not only to think about their relationship with you, their relationship to the church, and what that means to them as individuals. What responsibilities do they have? What challenges do they have? So, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach today. Glory and honor be yours. Amen. Okay, so the sermon topic is one body, many parts. And my mind is always wandering. I kind of think of those things like I think of parts of the body parts. Okay, and forgive me for that. But we're going to get to one body, many parts. Okay. In Christ Church, we're one body. Okay, there's different things to think about. There's the universal church, which are all Christ believers. Christ, the Christians. There's Christ Church, which is sometimes that term is used, meaning all the churches. In many cases, it means the specific church, the church that we attend. So, sometimes I might use the church, words interchangeably, Christ Church, our church, the congregation, okay? They're all kind of synonymous. I think the thing that in mind is, I think all my life when I was in church, insurance, are you ready for insurance? Okay, I think of that as a location of a place, you know, brick and mortar building. And that's true, okay, we can't deny that. But I think most importantly, the church is us. It's a group of believers with the same goal towards Christ, to support each other, to bless each other. Those are the things I'm going to get into. So I'll just kind of dive right in. I'm not the kind of person that likes reading to people for money, not because I can, but I kind of like to do it out of here instead of out of here. But I'm just going to read exactly what this is, and you might be a little whatever, confused or dismayed, but it's really a simple concept, and we'll discuss that when I'm finished. All right, so I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 27, and I'm using the translation. I looked at different translations, and it just seemed to fit best for our church, our congregation. Excuse me. It's cool if you're sold out. Okay. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to perform a particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom. To another person, the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to the one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles. To another, the gift of speaking God's message. And yet another, the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. Person, he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues. To another, he gives the ability to explain what he said, what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this as he wishes. He gives a different gift to each person. Parts. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. The same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have been baptized into one body by the same Spirit. And we have all been given one Spirit to drink. But the body itself is not made up of only one part, but of many parts. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not keep it from being part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not keep it from being a part of the body. If the whole body were just an eye, how could it hear? And if it were only an ear, how could it smell? However, God put every different part in the body just as he wanted it to be. There would not be a body if it were all only one part. As it is, many parts but one body. So then the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Can the head say to the feet, well, I don't need you. On the contrary, you cannot do without the parts of the body that seem to be. Those parts that we think aren't worth very much are the ones which we treat with greater care. But the parts of the body which don't look very nice are treated with special modesty. It's the more beautiful parts do not need. God himself has put the body together in such a way as to give greater honor to those parts that need it. And so there is no division in the body. But all its different parts have the same concern for one another. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. If one part is praised, all the other parts share its happiness. All of them are Christ's body, and each one is a part of it. Okay, so, basically, I think there are two main things in what I read. One is about spirit working in each of us, and one is each of us being a part of the body of Christ. You know, I was thinking about different things this morning. This past, I don't know if it's been 24 hours or so, I've been pretty crazy. Found out that found out that Mike and Abby both kind of forgot them. You know, both of them couldn't make it today. And I think each forgot to tell the other, and they forgot to tell the leadership, or one told the other, whatever it was about. It was confusing, and we just found out like yesterday evening. So we're kind of scrambling what to do. I don't think any of us are perfect vocalists. And, you know, we scraped by, and I kind of thought about this parts of the body sermon. We each are blessed in a special way. Each of the gifts that Christ gave to us, and somehow we managed to pull things together. And I know I was thinking about what you said, and sorry, I'm just going to give a mini phrase away that you said when you were talking about the members. You said one thing that impressed you was that whatever happens, against God or whatever it might be, we always seem to pull things together. And that just kind of stuck with me. And that's what I saw again. This morning, I mean, it was recent as this morning that Sabrina, I saw it on this field, and Sabrina also, they were just texting me and saying, well, if I sing this song, we think you can sing this song. And I'm kind of like, brought up with this going on, and my head's spinning, and I said, just do what you have to do. I trust and I'll support whatever you do. So it's just good to be able to count on each other and having a person being a part of the body of Christ. Like I said, we're all gifted differently. You know, we can get into things like in the Bible talks about speaking in tongues, and you know, that's maybe a whole other topic. There's people that believe in speaking in tongues, there's people that say, in the Bible, what good is it to speak in tongues if nobody really understands it? And you should have an interpreter. So, you know, I don't want to get too deep in what we read today, other than that it's very important for us to realize that we're all one body. Like I read earlier, when one suffers, we all suffer. When we celebrate, we all celebrate together. And that's really what this membership is about today, accepting other people into our family, into our body of Christ, into the church. So that we just have, I'm going to use a lady minister, but so that we have more horsepower in our worship, in our praise, and just lifting each other up, raising each other up, training each other up, supporting each other in every way, so that we can just be a stronger body of Christ. So, you know, before we get to anything related to the membership, I'll just kind of let you know what the order is today. The order is that every time we're limited for two. We have about a 20-minute like Alistair Bay. Okay. I don't know how many of you people know him. I feel like walking around the building getting more money. But Alistair Bay is a word famous, but well-known pastor. He has an accent, I don't know if it's English or whatever, but he's just, I like his humor, because that's kind of the way I try to be. Okay, I try to be a little bit humorous and say, but yet a serious message. And Alistair talks about the same thing about the body of Christ, about people searching for a church, what type of criteria they use for searching for a church, and some of it was pretty funny. Alistair talks about our purposes within the church. And he just covers a lot of different things. So I thought, well, what a better way to introduce that to you. You know, you guys, many of you have been in churches for a long time throughout your life. You've including myself, as one of those Catholic, I probably attended at least 10 different Catholic churches, I hate to say it, but my earlier years, it was more based on what time slot I was filling and studying the rest of the Sunday finish. And that's bad, but that's part of what we Christ. And so when I say some of these things, you might be playing that role now, okay? But again, this is just kind of a refresh course, not only for you, for all of us that we have been in this church for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. So don't take it personal. It's just a growing journey for all of us. And any kid that's coming to looking over my notes, if I had anything special that I'd like to say, you know, sometimes if I preach up here again, I get brain into another part of Corinthians. It's actually the same verse area, but it's not 1 Corinthians. I'll admit that. I said we were going to have the 1 Corinthians today, which we are. But then I started reviewing the same verses in Corinthians, which is somewhat different. Okay, so now that I have that somewhat memorized, maybe I'll share that with you guys sometime. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are important to the church member. Being grounded in the church, being grounded in the Bible. Just supporting brothers and sisters. There are so many things I read as I was just kind of researching different things. And it all goes back to loving one another. All the different things that we do in the church and in life. If we're Christians, it should be based on loving one another. I didn't realize it, but I saw some statistics. There's over 50 verses about loving one another in the New Testament. Okay, so God speaking through his disciples, it wasn't just a coincidence. He wanted to get us talking about one another. So I really hope and pray that all the other members, even people that aren't members of this church, and even on the outside of this church, we spread out to the community that we remember to love one another. As Christ loved us, as he cared about us unconditionally. I'll be honest with you, there's times I'm human, okay, I have stereotypes, it's easy to make judgments, and you know, that's a lifetime of feeding your brain different messages. And maybe some of those are true, and even if they're true, that's not really for us to judge. So, one thing I've been working on in my life is, and we were telling you, I'm far from being there, okay? It's a lifetime struggle, but when I do now, when I get a negative thought about somebody, it's like, sorry, I try to just kind of reflect it back. Sorry, man, that's one of your brothers and there's your sons and your daughters. So, I think that what I'd like to do is move over to Alistair's video, and then we'll talk about that, a little bit more about Corinthians, tie that together, and get on with the worship box. So, there you go.
Membership matters. That membership matters. I'm talking about membership now in a local church. That, of course, is not immediately responded to by people. And when you encounter folks and speak along those lines, it's not uncommon for them to react in different ways. I have a couple of cartoons here from my Doonesbury collection that seem apropos. In the first of them, a mother and father are talking to their little boy, Alex, and explaining to him that we're going to be starting going to church together as a family. In much the same way that without the classrooms in operation until next Sunday, many of you are here right now, many boys and girls are in here right now. And the response of little Alex to his mom and dad is, church is boring. To which the father says, well, we thought you might say that. All kids say that. So the boy says, didn't you think church was boring when you were a kid? To which he replies, well, sure, I hated church, but it was good for me. And my parents made me stick it out. And then he says, you may end up hating church too, but you have to come by that feeling honestly. You have to put in the pew time, like Mom and I did. So Alex is bemused. He's looking at his folks. And he says, what if I like it? And his father says, like it? What do you mean? To which the wife says, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, honey. Largely when the church is conveyed in the media and is often responded to by people who are sort of vaguely tangential to it, that is the notion that is often pervasive. And so what I want us to consider this morning is very simple, is very basic, is very straightforward. The children are with us here this morning, will be able to understand this. They'll be able to get the very heart of it all. Because a local church, in a local church, and we've said this before, it's one of the few places where you sit and sing, where you listen and learn, where you grow and serve, with people who are different from us, with rich people and poorer people, young people, old people, black people, white people, yellow people, educated people, uneducated people. And the unifying factor in it all is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we are coming to an awareness of the fact that the reason that any of us would be included in this family is because of the mystery of God who predestines us to be adopted into the very family of His Son. And someone has put it straightforwardly. A church is not a homogeneous club of people like us with whom we would naturally want to go on vacation. Rather, it is a supernatural fellowship of people very unlike us, in whom we are bound with Christ. Now, I find that tremendously reassuring. I don't know about you. If you come from a big family, you might not even like going on vacation with your own siblings. I mean, you may do it. You may remember good ones and bad ones. But being realistic, life moves on and things change. And so the idea that the key to meaningful engagement in a local church is that you're supposed to be so totally grooved in with everybody that if they said, let's all go on vacation together, you would just automatically say, oh yes, I really like that idea. When in point of fact, if you're honest, you say, oh, I don't want to go on vacation with them. You mean with your brother and your sister? Yeah. But you see, the issue is first of all theological. It's not emotional. It's about identity being transformed in Jesus. And the nature of Christian love is not necessarily tied to our likability, which of course is just as well, because often many of us are rather unlikable. Now, it's on account of that that people dodge the issue, don't they? It's quite routine for me to have people debate the matter with me. Where they say, is the matter of church membership in the Bible? We looked in the Bible and we couldn't find church membership. Why are you even talking about it? You looked in the Bible and you couldn't find membership in the church? What were you looking for? Are you going to turn a page and it says, here are the details of church membership? Yeah, that's not in there. But the entire New Testament is about being in Christ, and being in Christ, being in church. You can't be in Christ without being in church. And if someone says, I am in Christ and not in church, then either they are not in Christ or they don't understand what it means to be in Christ. So you have them debating it. Then you have others who are the drifters, the people who drift in and out local congregations all of the time. They come in to see what's on offer, they move in for a little while, and then they leave when they're bored or when they're displeased. Again, this is not uncommon. Here's Doonesbury. And this is a couple who have gone for an interview with a local minister who's asking them, what would you like to know about our church? And the man says, well, what's your basic approach here, Reverend? Is it traditional gospel? He says, in a way, I like to describe it as 12-step Christianity. Basically, I believe that we're all recovering sinners. My ministry is about overcoming denial. It's about recommitment, redemption. You can find it all in the brochure, he says. Wait a minute, says the wife. Sinners? Redemption? Doesn't that imply guilt? Oh, yes, says the minister, I do rely on the occasional disincentive to keep the flock from going astray, and guilt's part of that. Oh, I don't know, says the husband. I don't know. There's so much negativity in the world as it is. Yeah, that's right, says the wife. We're looking for a church that's a supportive place, a place where we can feel good about ourselves. I'm not sure the guilt thing works for us. The husband's looking at the brochure and he says, on the other hand, you do offer racquetball. To which the wife replies, so did the Unitarians, honey. Let's just shop around a little bit more. Let's keep roaming around till we find the exact place that will be just absolutely perfect for us. So you've got the debaters, you've got the drifters, and then you've got the deniers who deny that the gathering of God's people is even a legitimate exercise in this kind of fashion. All you need, especially millennials will say, all you need is an iPad, your pajamas, and a good cup of coffee, and you've got church. No, you don't. It's not a download. These things may supplement, but they are not to be replacing. In the same way, people say, well, I don't want to sit with people that I don't really know or don't really like or are not in my age group. And so you have the constant desire to make sure that all of the little groups that we gather in are people just like us that fit our mold and fit our expectations and fit our age group or fit our social status or whatever it might be. All of those things are on account of the fact that men and women have not paid attention to the clear instruction of the Bible. The little phrase in Christ, which is here in verse 5 of chapter 12, and we're not doing an exposition this morning, this is topical, but that little phrase is crucial. Paul uses it all the time. He's talking about the being members of the body, and there we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So in other words, when God by his grace brings me into a relationship with Jesus, he brings me into a relationship with all who are in Jesus. That's why when we sang this morning in the church's one foundation, that wonderful phrase there, but we on earth have union with God the three in one, here it is, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. Do you know what that's saying? It's saying that the people that have already been gathered into the nearer presence of Jesus, we have communion with them as well, in a way that is mystical and inexplainable. In other words, this church thing is glorious, it's vast, it's profound, it's far more than the many little notions that are often represented when it is suggested by the pastor or whoever it is that we ought to take these things seriously. It's no surprise that Paul uses the phrase again and again because it was his own testimony. Saul of Tarsus hated Jesus, hated the followers of Jesus, and was committed to their destruction. Then one day he met Jesus and he became a man in Christ. What is the progression? He is converted, he is baptized, and he joins himself with the disciples. That's what happens. Converted, baptized, and joined with the family of God. In fact, it says that he went to join the disciples in Jerusalem, and they were afraid of him because of his background. And Barnabas took him and brought him there in the way that many of you have been brought into the fellowship of God's people. You find the same thing in Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches after Pentecost. He explains that Jesus has died for sin, that he's risen, that he may be known, and forgiveness is found in him. The people respond by saying, what do you want us to do now? He says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God will adopt you into his family. And so what do you discover? The same progress. They were converted, they were baptized, they were added, and they were involved. Converted, baptized, added, and involved. So you can ask yourself, as I ask myself, where do I fit along this continuum? Because the New Testament knows nothing of unattached members. If you were to cut my hand off and put it up in my study, it would still be a hand, but it would be no longer part of my body. We would need help to put things back the way they're supposed to be. So the idea of being an unattached limb in relationship to the body of Christ is an untenable position. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he addresses them both locally and universally. He writes, he says to the church of God that is in Corinth, and he says, and you are the folks who call out to God along with all those in every place who call upon his name. So in other words, the people who gathered in Corinth knew who they were. Paul knew who they were. And when he writes to them, he knows to whom he is writing. And they know that this letter to the church in Corinth is to them. In the same way that if we were to receive a letter to Parkside Church and to the saints in Parkside Church, we would be able to go and say, now, who amongst the various congregations that attend Parkside Church have committed themselves as members in Parkside Church? Because this letter is written to them. It's not just written to anybody that happens to come in here on a Sunday. It is written to those who are in membership at Parkside Church. In the same way that when we think in terms of our annual meeting, as we think in terms of making decisions together, these things are important. Now, the metaphors for the church in the New Testament only make sense, only become real, as we meet together as a church fellowship. It's very obvious, isn't it? The church is described multivariously. It's described as Christ's flock, as his body, as his household, as his building. Okay. So, one sheep doesn't make a flock. One brick doesn't make a building. One limb doesn't make a body. And one individual doesn't make a family. All of those pictures of the church presuppose not some kind of external digitized form-filling dimension, but they presuppose an organic unity that is grounded in and founded in God's work in our lives. That's why neglecting the church of God matters. Neglecting God's people when they gather is like not caring for elements of your own body. You see, if you say to yourself, for example, let's just take a case in point. You say, well, you know, I don't think that I need to attend there anymore. I have legitimate grounds for no longer participating. Well, let's suppose you do, then presumably the same grounds extend to the person who usually sits next to you and to the person who sits next to them. Why not to the entire row? Why not to the entire section? Why not to the entire congregation? You see, you have to consider, when you make decisions like that, what would happen if everybody thought the way I think and acted the way I do in relationship to these things? It's not a new and a novel idea that you think why the writer to the Hebrews says, I don't want you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. The reason he has to say that is because the temptation, the tendency, is to isolation, not to involvement. It is to say, no, I will do it in my own way and in my own time. Now, these New Testament pictures not only imply close relationships, but they imply order and they imply structure. And once again, especially amongst younger people, the idea of order and structure is sort of fluid. So when somebody like me says, you know, it's very important to have order and structure, there's almost an inevitable visceral response to that. Now, we don't do order and structure. Well, let me tell you, if you're in Christ, yes, you do. The reason I left you in Crete, he says to Titus, is so that you might put what remained into order. In other words, so that the church might know who is in leadership, so that the servants might know how they serve, so that their relationships with one another might be clearly delineated by the truth of the word. In the same way, when Jesus gives instruction concerning dealing with forgiveness and a lack of forgiveness and the need for reconciliation, he doesn't just say, go away somewhere and figure this out. He says, do this, and if they don't do this, then tell it to the church. Matthew 18. What do you mean, tell it to the church? Stand outside a church building and talk to the church building? What does he mean, tell it to the church? Tell it to those who have been assembled under the direction of God and who are in relationship with one another. When Paul takes his leave of the Ephesian elders, and this is my last illustration of it, I don't want to be tedious, but in Acts chapter 20, when he takes his leave of the Ephesian elders, remember he says to them, pay attention to yourselves and to the flock of God over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's the structure. That's the order. Ephesians 4, pastors and teachers have been given as a gift to the church in order that the saints might be edified, in order that these saints may then do the works of ministry. This is a Labor Day message. This is about labor. This is about the working man in America. This is about the work of the gospel through the church. And I cannot find a way to conclude that God has ordained the church to be some kind of unstructured and loosely knit association that functions spontaneously. You're sensible people. Figure it out. Well, somebody says, yes, well, I can go along with you as far as you've gone, but all of this can presumably be achieved without a formal membership process. And that's where some of you find yourself. Well, I'm not going in a class. I'm not filling in a form. I'm not doing any of that. Why not? Good answer. Yeah, there's not a good answer. In order for any group, any family to function, people have to know who's in the family and who's not in the family. You can't drive through your neighborhood at the end of the day and roll your windows down and just shout, children, children, come to daddy. Not unless you get arrested. But you can't call out your own children's names and call them to you because they know who they are, they know their identity, they know they belong, and they know who you are. That is just a microcosm of the body of Christ. And when that doesn't function, then chaos ensues. How else are you to know who's for you and who's against you?
Probably the only thing that I missed and what I wanted to say regarding the spiritual gifts, as I talked about earlier, is that, we just think of like that person has a musical gift or that person has something real direct, but a gift of just kindness or acts of service for different activities. So we all don't have to be the best singer around here or some other act that's merely visible. Okay, there's a lot of different gifts that the Spirit gives us. And the Spirit gives us those not through our power or recognition, but basically for God's glory. Every gift that we have is for God's glory. So that type of gift doesn't give you any status or recognition. It's not designed for that. Those gifts were chosen by the Spirit according to God's work and plan. So that's pretty much all I'm going to share with you guys. Thank Alistair for helping some gaps. And I received a reminder. You guys know how this how this works, but we get 1 hour of recording. So anything after 1 hour, it just isn't recorded, so that anybody that's watching this on the internet, that it's cut off after the time. So I just got to remember, watch how much we say. There were some Bible verses. I probably won't even go through them. I think that's bring that show up about 5 or 6 Bible verses. But I think there's a lot of stuff. Maybe I'll just, you know, just mention some of those. Romans, so we are no many form one body, each member belongs to the others. Galatians, brothers and sisters, someone's caught in a sin. Okay, we're talking about in the church. We live by the Spirit. Restore that person gently. So we always talk about gently in a lot of these verses. There was a word that I kind of like. I have been here like 5 times, and it's something, it's a Greek word, something like catharsis, and when they talk about restoring brothers and sisters that maybe have been sitting in the church or need some direction, that word is used in Greek, and it refers to resetting a broken bone. So I just kind of like a mental kind of guide for that word. And also, the Bible for that same word for preparing fish nets. I mean, even if you're not a fisherman, you probably know like nets are made up of a bunch of small, woven things together that support each other. And it wouldn't be easy to fix a fish net. It would take some special skill and things like that. So, that was related to that for Galatians about just taking care when somebody has a burden, somebody's sitting, whatever it might be, that we have to watch and be gracefully. Hebrews, and let us consider how we spur one another towards love and obedience. Not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing. Okay, why are we in the habit of doing? Okay, so research on that. And it's basically, said forgetting to meet. Okay, I'm not sure how hard it is for me to meet. But I think maybe to sum that verse of Hebrews up is just reminding us to meet regularly as often as we can. I know our job is given away, children are given away, duties. There's a reminder to try to do your best to worship together, to serve each other. And there's another Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders, submit to their authority, because they watch over you, give an account. Okay, some of the key words I thought, okay, watch over you. It's like, if somebody stand like this, like, okay, I'm in authority. It's not that kind of watching over. It's basically ensuring that worshiping properly, following God's word. Okay, wavering. I scribbled some notes on that. You don't have to go through life alone. Stir each other up, encourage each other. Okay, so just kind of get people excited. We don't all come in here. We don't all come in here happy on Sunday. Okay, and we have a lot of things going on sometimes. And when you sense that, feel free to reach out to your brother or sister. Encourage them, hey, look down to them, whatever it might be. Hebrews 3:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you. You must get your confidence. I might have jumped this, but on the bottom line in this, I think I have a few references in it. So it's basically, you know, the leaders are hard time. I'm rolling, I'm rolling, I'm stopping. Just do it together. Follow the Spirit 12 years, as long as they're driving them properly. That's not always the case at some churches. And the last one, Acts 20:28-29. Watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds of the church of God. He bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. Not spiritual thought. Okay? So that kind of savage word caught my eye. I did some research on that. And basically, stand in the faith. Paul encourages leaders to stand in the faith. He encourages members to stand in the faith. Guard our hearts and avoid doctrines of the demon. So that's it for that. So I think we're going to get into worship. So I'm just going to discuss for a few minutes about the leader's responsibility, member's responsibility, and then we'll have evening members come up here and we'll do some bumps together. Now, when we do those bumps, I'm going to ask the question just like we did here. I'm going to ask a series of questions. I'm going to ask these leaders and the answer. That's the answer also. Okay, this is kind of a renewal for all of us to remember what being a member is about. So, church leaders' responsibilities. Responsibilities are to keep the church family healthy, spiritually healthy, and grounded in Christ by providing and facilitating spiritual and personal growth opportunities, such as people preaching, pastoral care, small groups, different activities, fellowship activities, outreach, baptism. That's a church's responsibility to its members to make sure those are happening and available. Now, we do it's one excuse, it's a partial excuse, but some of the things we have been doing lately. Communion. In order to have communion, you need a pastor that's been ordained. Okay. For communion and baptism, you need to ordain a pastor. Some pastors aren't, and I definitely don't. So, what we have to do, and probably then, that's in our responsibility. Soon, I'd like to get a pastor, maybe even if it's a pastor, woman, I'm the senior pastor at the ministry side, maybe. And some things have just been helpful. Maybe a bonfire. I know some of you have come more bonfires, unfolding together. All these different activities pretty much restricted because of COVID-19. So it's not that we have, it's hard to hold over Zoom, okay, or have a bonfire, whatever it may be. And praying for better days so that we can have a community once again. I think one that likely would be the best would be that Sally and I talked about it, I think it was last week. Even if we can do some type of outreach right now, most outreach is difficult because there's a lot of body contact, but there has to be something that we can do to serve people that are at a disadvantage in one way or another. So that may be a good start. Along with us trying to get both very soon. So, our church leader responsibilities, membership benefits. Okay. I just signed up for a cost of part. So, and of course, you get all this kind of member, you never pay them, but you all kinds of details about what's offered. It's certainly both membership benefits. Obviously, as an entry to the believer. Right. We see you, we know who you are, we're just not yet, we're not children, okay, we know who to go about you. You have a supportive spiritual family who encourages you in your walk with Christ. You have a place to discover and use your gifts of ministry. We talked about these things today, we can talk about them more in the future, but I mean, just like we mentioned about Mike not being here today, Eddie, Sabrina, we stretch her in all different directions. Go on and on. Aaron, Susan, helping. Judy and Tammy can help in different ways. All the Julie way. Mrs. Lee. Okay. I know your last name's not Lee. Katie. I just wanted to know that we appreciate that, and it's always a challenge right now. We're a small congregation. We lost a lot of our members over the last year for various reasons. Some of them, a few of them through COVID, a few of them being members, but we're a little bit nervous about coming back. And so we're struggling right now, so I hope we can have a conversation about that. that in the future. So membership responsibilities, so other things you gain as a member is voting rights. Okay, we make some decisions. A decision I hope yes, and this for the past that we've been, we just had three possible candidates, but we're just at the beginning. We have to discuss whether we should move forward in the process. Interviewing them, there's multiple interviewing processes. There's inviting them over like you've seen before. So we're just at the start of this, just recently, over the past 3 weeks, that we're just starting to discuss. We have a contention with God mediators. I mentioned about earlier that we each all be looking out for each other. Steer each other on track, and since we're getting off track. And that's a sense of a situation, as I mentioned. Okay. What is getting off track? Okay. There's serious getting off track. So, like, if I see one of you that I'm married, somebody that's not your wife or husband. Okay, that's real serious. Some things are small, just in the way you think about things or express yourself about things. So you know that you have somebody. All of each other accountable.